Hello and welcome to another episode of the SEO Unplugged podcast. I'm your host, Itamar Blau. Today, I'm joined with Aleida Solis, who is an SEO consultant and the founder of Orienti and also loads of other SEO initiatives to do with learning SEO and an overall amazing person in the industry. So, Aleida, how's it going? How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you very much, Itamar. It's a pleasure to be here today with you.
Awesome. All right. So this episode is all about actionable SEO audits. And as somebody who has conducted countless SEO audits over the years, I want to know, first and foremost, what would be your main number one thing that you do when you're starting to look at a website? Like, what's the one thing you always do?
Yeah. So my approach is to try to identify equally issues as well as opportunities, right? Like, what is holding this website back from a ranking standpoint? I believe that the main challenge or the say issue, especially with people starting in SEO, is that they try to identify every single aspect that can be penalizing or negatively influencing the rankings of the website, trying to not leave anything out. And I believe that that approach is a recipe to never end an SEO audit, and then it will highly, let's say, difficult prioritization, which is a must. So my approach is, what is really harming the most? Like, what aspect from a content, technical, popularity, page experience, anything is actually harming this website to achieve their goals. So for that to happen, it is fundamental that you understand what are the goals, what are those, let's say, priorities at that point for that business. Is it really to grow the organic search traffic overall year over year by, I don't know, 20%? Or is it really to increase the market share versus X or Y competitors? Or is it to grow the sales in this product line or category that has the highest revenue they really want to promote further in the next year? And based on that, I will focus on those areas, those queries, those opportunities, right? And then based on that, I will be able to, let's say, have a good blend of technical content, lead popularity, all of those, let's say, major top problems, top opportunities that are harming the website rankings towards those particular goals and focus on those. And for me, they shouldn't be more than 10 ever. Like, in order to make them easy to go through, easy to prioritize, easy to put action on in the next 6 months to facilitate stuff, because you don't really want to add stuff there that will only generate doubts or questions or double questions from the dev team or content team saying, like, is that really going to drive any increase, any improvement? This should be stuff that you should easily communicate or to be able to easily show that obviously these are meaningful, these are impactful, that they should be a core thing to fix or to develop in order to achieve the goals. And I'm mentioning on purpose both issues and opportunities, because again, another thing that I have found is that whenever someone thinks of, okay, let's start always with those major technical problems or foundational problems only. But if you only add there or prioritize foundational problems, which by all means, at some point they need to be in one way or another prioritized, right? But try to not only include those or focus on those, because otherwise you will only fix, but you won't be able to build, and you will unlikely be able to rank for really meaningful queries and drive the expected growth if you only fix rather than build, because building is how we actually are able to scale and develop our growth, right? So this is overall, let's say, my thinking and my approach. When I start then gathering data, this is the type of criteria that I always keep into account.
Mm-hmm. No, that's really great. So you touched upon quite a few different things there. I kind of want wanted to add on the prioritization side, because obviously, like you say, there's so many different things that can go wrong with a site. And even if you are auditing a site, you might find loads of different things. But in order to really prioritize, I think what you said is great, because you need the context. Like, you need to understand what it is that the business owner wants to do, but also it's good for yourself to be asking questions about what's happened in the past, because you might go into it and say, actually, okay, there's all sorts of these different things. But if you don't have the context that maybe this website used to have a hub of pages that they've, for whatever reason, gotten rid of, and now they've lost loads of rankings that they had beforehand, that's the kind of context that's useful for you to go into an audit and be very actionable from the start, because you understand what's happened before, and then you can find what are the main things that's going to help push that site forward.
100%. You need to understand context, right? That is why you need to understand the website first, the business first, the constraints, the requirements, and understand like any let's say background and work that has happened as much as possible. And then that is why you also want to prioritize the recommendations, not only based on the impact or expected impact, but also on the effort. Because as you mentioned, you might find like an issue that becomes quickly a non-issue, because all of a sudden then you understand that this is happening because of certain constraint that there's no way to be able to change in the next couple of years because of whatever legal reason, business reasons, or because this just happened 6 months ago. And so it doesn't make sense to do yet another migration, right? Again. So it's fundamental to understand not only, or try to identify or to assess the potential impact, the opportunity, but also what is the effort and the viability at all of the recommendations. And for that, there should be a lot of conversations with stakeholders, right? That is why I believe that it is always healthy, and this is what I try to do whenever I'm gathering data and developing hypotheses of potential recommendations. I will always try to have a little call a week before I deliver the recommendations to validate and verify those hypotheses or potential solutions for the challenges, for the issues and opportunities that I have found, to verify that they're viable, to verify maybe they are already aware of it and they have been in the backlog already for a while. And so it's important for me to understand things like that, right? So the steps, that is why the steps for me should be first data gathering for as many data sources as possible, also to have healthy, let's say, double inputs on everything, at least, without also like making it reasonable, right? Because I mean, if you end up crawling the website with 10 different SEO crawlers and trying to crawl completely like a 10 billion URLs website or something like that, it's like, again, it's like try to make it meaningful, smart, segmenting the data as much as possible. If it is a huge website, having representative samples of the different areas and pages types too. Those that are also more meaningful towards conversions or do goals or customer journey, the search journey. So SEO crawlers, log files, if it is possible, Search Console, Google Analytics, any third-party tool too. And then put that in the context of your goals, the business goals, the SEO process goals, analyzing issues and opportunities, and identifying what are those, let's say, misconfigurations that are damaging the most and what are causing them. Because many times what we see is a consequence of something that we need to fix, not what we actually need to fix, right? So it's important to understand, oh, I see a lot of PDPs, a lot of product pages that are generating 404s. So of course, the recommendation is not only or should be not only to fix those already existing 404s, but also understanding why they were generated in the first place. Are there any rules to avoid them? No, then let's set the rules to avoid them moving forward, right? So this is the type of thinking to establishing, let's say, workflows, systems to avoid generating these issues in the long run again, and to establish and to identify the causes of the problems and the opportunities that we're identifying, right? Like, oh, I am identifying that they are missing a lot of opportunity because they are not indexing or canonicalizing all of the color facets across all of the categories. But I have assessed that at least half of these color facets, they have enough inventory, enough supply, differentiated supply for every color or for every major color. And there are a lot of searches and around colors for this type of products. So you have supply and demand. You're leaving money on the table if you don't index them. You should start indexing them. So it's not only about recommending stop no indexing them and start self-referring or self-canonicalizing all of this pages, but also let's establish rules to make this indexing process meaningful, relevant, and so it doesn't hurt also the website content quality, or you don't index pages that are also not that meaningful to attract any traffic anyway, and will be a waste of opportunity, things like that, right? So again, identifying not only the issue itself, but put it in context and aligned to the goals that you know that the business has.
Yeah, no, I think that's great because you mentioned viability in there a few times. And it's like, it's one of those things where I guess one potential area where a lot of people might go wrong with their audits is they will only use a checklist. And I'm not saying checklists are bad per se, but if you're only relying on a checklist to find a bunch of problems, but then A, it's sort of confined to the checklist that you've got, but B, I feel like it misses a lot of critical thinking, because the example that you gave with, like, you know, the faceted categories or different colors for a product, that's something that you can identify certain pages that might have been, you know, canonicalized elsewhere, but then it's actually, I would assume, going and doing a bit of research actually around these different types of searches and saying, actually, we find that there's search demand here, here, and here, which isn't something that you would necessarily be able to get just out of seeing that a bunch of URLs or similar URLs aren't being indexed. So for that example, it's like there's a lot more that you can do to make the recommendations more meaningful, but also to tie in more with the objectives of the business.
100%. So that is why I created this template that I'm going to link here, so you can share it when you publish the conversation too. I created a couple of templates. One is a Google Slides template for the SEO recommendations to share it in an easy to understand way by stakeholders, even non-technical stakeholders. And then I am also sharing here a prioritization template in Google Sheets. And if you see in this template what I have recently done to, let's say, highlight this particular aspect that you have just mentioned of how and how important it is to tie any recommendation, any action to an actual strategy. Otherwise, if these are all always only disconnected tasks, of nice to have or meant to have or good practices that we have found in a checklist, by all means, maybe some of those, maybe we have a 100 validation SEO checklist of things that you cannot miss out to check on an SEO audit. But in my particular context, it is four of those things that will be actually meaningful. And four of those things not apply to every single page of my website, but to these particular areas, right? That are the ones that are very important right now to achieve the goals of the business and the goals of the SEO process. So in this template, what I have done to avoid that trap, right, of just following a checklist, which by all means, checklists are great just to not miss stuff out, but not to necessarily drive your overall SEO process relying on those. So I have added, you can see the SEO recommendations column where you should describe the actions to develop to fix the identify SEO issues, challenges, opportunities. Then SEO issue to solve or opportunity to leverage, to describe the SEO issue to solve an opportunity to leverage, to ensure that what you are recommending is actually connected to something that is a solution, right? Or to avoid that trap also to only list issues. No, you should list solutions to the issues or opportunities that you have found. And then in the third column, you can see specify the SEO strategy, the SEO recommendation belongs to or is tied to, right? to ensure that whatever you're recommending is actually connected, that has to do with a major, larger effort, right? So if it is optimized titles, meta descriptions, and headings of X or Y category pages, it's because there is a strategy there of a content optimization of those categories and facets that are right now underperforming versus the other ones that have been already being worked on, or are in general underperforming versus your major competitors, and you know that this should be a priority. So it is connected with that strategy of improving the overall content of this group of pages because you have identified that they are not performing as well as they could for their targeted non-branded commercial queries. And then another column in which you specify and you describe the SEO goal that this recommendation will help to achieve. So again, is yet another step to ensure that what you are recommending actually is logical and makes sense and is connected to your goals. So, I am going to optimize the metadata because it's part of my strategy of optimizing the overall content of this categories and facets that are underperforming. And because this is what is will allow me to achieve my goal of improve organic search traffic of categories and facets for commercially focused queries in 20% year over year. So you like that will be able to tie and develop 3 or 4 recommendations per strategy. And that strategy will connect it with a goal to achieve, right? So that should be the thinking. The problem is when we just follow a checklist in a very automated way, when we end up performing as if we were a little bit of robots, right? And whenever someone asks me, are you scared with AI, the AI impact in SEO? It's only if that is your approach to work, right? If it is non-business driven, not taking into context and into consideration the goals of the business and all of these different criteria and rules to establish a real strategical approach to your SEO process.
Yeah, and I think you touched on so many different great points there. And something that I was going to sort of ask would be like, what is the sort of one biggest thing that people should avoid? And I suppose you kind of pretty much answered that in the sense that it's like, don't treat things as super like black and white, like you're just looking at a checklist and you're just doing what's on there for the sake of doing it. Whereas instead of that, if you're connecting things, like you say, to the real world, to business, and having those different little bits in there of a strategy and how it ties everything together, that's an easier way to get buy-in as well from the C-suite, from the marketing managers, whoever it is that you're dealing with. And also with those templates, 100%, we'll get to sharing those templates. And I suppose with that, what other things could we possibly say about SEO audits in terms of making them actionable, apart from all the stuff that you've already said? Because even I'm thinking like, What more can be done?
Yeah, I believe that is also we deliver them. A lot of times I have seen that we develop a document that is like 100 pages in length that nobody reads, that is too technical, that nobody understands, or realistically, the ones that we actually that actually care about it, about the document, is only us, because we are like the ones that are actually trying to document it all. And by all means, that doesn't mean that we don't need to be comprehensive in the what we assess, right? But that also doesn't mean that we need to try to include every single misconfiguration or problem in the recommendations. If you see in the template that I have shared, I have pretty much a blueprint to ensure that each action that you recommend, you clearly specify the priority, the expected impact, the expected effort, the type of resources connected, and why you are recommending that, in a very straightforward way to understand why is SEO recommendation 1 or whatever important and how does it affect the site rankings, traffic, conversion goals, right? Describe it here, add a screenshot showing what you are like the why, the reason for the why, in a very easy to understand way, how you are underperforming, how what you are mentioning that is badly optimized at the moment is clearly not good right? So it's easy to tell even for someone who's not a technical person, or it might be like a decision maker, for example. And then what is also important to specify is where are these issues or opportunities found, and where it can be fixed? What is the scope, right? Oh, I have found link 404 URLs on the website. They need to be fixed. Okay, perfect. But where? Which are the type of pages that are generating them? What are the patterns? Where can the internal links to these 404s found, right? So explaining the patterns that the errors or opportunities are following in which particular areas. And also, if there are rules to set, not only to fix what already exists, but to avoid the issues from happening in the future, is fundamental. That is why I recommend to explain this at a very high level. And then the patterns, the grouping, the segmentation, it is important that you segment. And then you linked out to a Google Sheets or a database where you can, or a PM system where you have all of the data aggregated of linking pages or pages, where they are linked, et cetera, et cetera. So the developers can go through them when they start implementing or executing the work, but a decision maker doesn't need to go there but to understand, but they should be able to easily understand by going through your recommendations, your main core recommendations document, where you specify the problem at a very high level in a visual way with screenshots, easy to go through. So again, no more than 10, top 10. These top 10 should be also prioritized. So make it easy to go through the most important challenges or opportunities and recommendations by starting with them at the beginning, adding also an executive summary of all of them, a single page. So even if the major decision maker, the C-level people, they don't have time at all to go to these 10 pages, they can actually just read one and understand, you know, even much higher level, just a little table, like what are the major problems or opportunities, how much is there to win versus the goals that you have set for it, and how much is needed to make that happen resource-wise, because this is what they will end up approving or not, right? So I know that especially when SEOs start learning, they think that it's about being very technical, etc. But no, it's important that you understand the different areas, opportunities, issues, the technicalities. But at some point, it's even more important if you're going to be communicating with decision makers and stakeholders, that you are able to communicate them in the easiest possible way to go through, to understand. So developing or knowing how to develop recommendations like this is key. And then, of course, when someone asks me, oh, Aleida, what is your preferred format for recommendations? I'm mentioning, and I'm talking about Google Slides for it, because it's the most common for a lot of marketing departments to easily go through the major stakeholders to go through very easy. But by all means, if you're a decision maker or C-level, they don't like slides, which has happened to me in the past with a few clients, and they want just a very short email, or even if they are more technical and they do everything, and I have had some startup founders too using Jira or Notion like this, perfect. You create just a post on Jira or Notion or whatever, going through these major points for you. So what I mean here is that you need to be flexible to facilitate and to not add additional challenges for them to understand what do you need and why. And why they need to say yes, right? It's not only the why for you, but the why for them. What is there for them, and why should be a priority for them and something fundamental for them to support you?
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, you pretty much summed up all the possible ways to actually get SEO audits, A, actionable, but B, meaningful, so that the right people can understand it and the sort of language that they would understand or that's easiest for them. And you also touched upon earlier as a way of doing this stuff at scale. So when you mention the actual audits and recommendations, if it's certain, if it's a massive site, then yeah, having those different types of consistencies with page templates or different types of pages, that can be really helpful as well for your point of view doing the audits, and to make that as actionable as possible as well for the developers. And I guess the only other thing that's left to do is actually having the developers or whoever's implementing it to actually do it properly. But that's a whole separate conversation in itself. But Aleda, this has been super, super helpful. Where can people find you if they want to reach out to say thank you and also to get any of those templates that you mentioned beforehand?
Yes, of course. My website, aleidasolis.com. And you can find me also, I'm very active in LinkedIn, Aleida Solis. In X/Twitter too. I am at Aleida, and Threads now too. And I have a newsletter, SEO FOMO, that I send weekly. It's completely free, where I go through all of the latest updates, news in SEO, top resources to top jobs too. So go and take a look at SEO FOMO. And then also I have learningseo.io, which is where I have aggregated all of the major resources in a roadmap-like type of structure to facilitate the learning journey of many new SEOs too. So I believe that that can be also helpful. Finally, I have just launched a few weeks back a new SEO forum that is called the SEO FOMO Chat Hub. So you can go only to like chat.seofomo.co. And if you have any questions, if you have any doubts, any concerns about SEO audits or any other SEO topic, you can go there. Ask questions to other members of the community. There are almost 700 members now. And we will go through your doubts in a, let's say, friendly way that is actually meant to be helpful, supportive, let's say, which is something that we all need in this field a little bit more. So hopefully that will help to solve an issue too.
You see, this is why I tried to keep the intro initially super short, because I could literally spend at least 5 minutes going through all the stuff that you've done and how you've helped this industry move forward. But Aleda, thank you so much for your time, and thanks to everyone listening to this episode of SEO Unplugged, and we'll see you in the next one.